Well, your toe bone connected to your foot bone. Your foot bone connected to your heel bone. Your heel bone connected to your ankle bone. Your ankle bone connected to your leg bone. Your leg bone connected to your knee bone. Your knee bone connected to your thigh bone. Your thigh bone connected to your hip bone. Your hip bone connected to your backbone. Your backbone connected to your shoulder bone. Your shoulder bone connected to your neck bone. Your neck bone connected to your head bone. Now hear the word of the Lord.
So that whole part about the knee bone connected to the leg bone, that's about all I knew that was wrong with me when I got hurt on November 17th in Dublin, Ireland. I fell down a flight of stairs and I knew that my legs didn't work. A lot of people have asked me, so what happened? I really, to this day, have no idea. So I invited the guy who put me back together. We wanted to have him on the program so he could explain it certainly better than I can. Dr. William O'Connor is the man. He is a member of the Ortho New York Executive Committee, board certified in orthopedics. He specializes in care of the hip and knee as well as total joint replacement. He completed a three-month fellowship in trauma at Hospital for Special Surgery and was co-director of trauma at National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda for the first 3 months of the 2003 war with Iraq, retiring as a Navy captain. He is now with Ortho New York, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Dr. William O'Connor to the program. How are you, St. William?
I'm well, sir. Hi, Joe.
It's good to see you. Well,
good to see you. Listen, I wanted to remind you that you are in excellent company. You know that you basically had a very similar or same injury with President Clinton.
Now, did he do a double quad?
No. No, he did not. No, you had to do it better, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, so that's what I'm fascinated by, because when I looked this up, and you obviously would have better numbers on this than I do, but I think at one point you told me you, in your very long distinguished career, haven't seen many double quad tears. That is a somewhat rare injury.
It truly is, yes.
So does that make it, because Alan and I were talking about this earlier on the air, that you were, I don't want this to be misconstrued, you were stern with me, though, in the sense of, like, oh, okay, Joe, this is your one shot. You have one shot at this to get better, so you don't have a good leg, so don't screw it up. I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically.
No, I think you phrased it perfectly. It's true that your very best shot at soft tissue repairs, be it the quad tendon, the patellar tendon, the rotator cuff tendon, is your first time. And if you re-rupture that, because of an accident or because of poor, decisions, getting yourself into a situation you shouldn't be in, it's much more difficult to re-repair it because, tissues, when they're injured, much like a skin that is burned, the soft tissues are never quite the same. And much like a burn injury, the chance of repairing the first time is the best chance. And obviously, if you get recurrent burn injuries, the tissues are going to continue to get further and further damaged. So because you truly did not have a good leg to stand on, I really wanted to hammer home the point to you of needing to be careful and let your body heal itself. And I must say, I've told you this many times, you truly were an exemplary patient. You were fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. You know, one of the things that surprised me about it, and I guess this gets into some psychology, because when I saw you, I think of my surgical follow-up, so maybe 2 weeks after, I was in the hospital for 2.5 weeks, and then I saw you 2 weeks later. And you said something to me. You said, well, have you had your braces off? And I said, well, no. And you said, well, have you put any weight on? And I said, well, no, you told me not to. And you said to me, well, yeah, but nobody ever listens to me. And that just shocked me because I just took it as from you. Well, you're a naval guy, so you know I'm already intimidated. But the fact that I would just think that everyone. I'm not better than anybody else. I'm just saying that I just think that everyone would follow the orders if they want to get better. It surprises me that more people don't do that.
I may have overstated that when I said that nobody ever listens to me, but you know, I think maybe part of human nature is that we all think that we can do a little bit more than we can, you know that. You know, some things are more of guidelines than actual strict rules. So I may have embellished things a little bit, but, you know, I think that every physician has some patients who, you know, are a bit non-compliant. And
yeah.
I should throw in there that doctors make the worst patients of all. So, you know, I've had a couple of surgeries myself, and I'm sure if you got my surgeons on the phone, I don't know that I would have been quite as exemplary a patient as you were.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I also find this fascinating, which is that when it comes to these types of injuries, that so much does then rely. You go and do what you do. So explain exactly what you did, because a bilateral bilateral meaning both legs. So a quadricep tear is the thing that connects the leg bone to the knee bone, right?
Correct. So, you know, your quadriceps muscle then becomes a tendon, and that tendon inserts into the top of the kneecap. Any cable or rope, if that's cut, you know, you no longer have a connection from one end to the other. So you lose the ability to extend your leg. That was the same concept in Greek mythology with Achilles' heel.
Right.
You know, he was so powerful, but once his tendon that connect his gastrosoleus muscle complex to his heel, once that was cut, he no longer had any push-off strength and was rather defenseless in fight. And, you know, the great challenge for you was, because both legs were affected, you know, just simply trying to transfer from a bed to a chair, you know, was a major challenge for you. So the tendon is basically collagen. And when collagen is injured and then fibroblasts come back into the area and lay down collagen again, it takes roughly about 42 days, which is 6 weeks.
Right.
It takes about 42 days for that collagen to reorganize into its maximum tensile strength. And so that's why we want to be careful with patients in terms of not overstressing the repair. The repair is sewing that quadriceps tendon back to the bone. And to do that, this may be a tad bit graphic, Joe, but, you know, we have to kind of roughen up or freshen up the end of that kneecap bone to get it bleeding a little bit, so that fibroblasts are there to because of the bleeding that occurs, they're there to lay down that collagen and to allow that tendon to scar back down to that bone. And so the temporary repair, you know, what I did is temporary, and what your body did is permanent. So that's also the concept with fracture work. Most people don't realize that when we use plates or rods to fix broken bones, they serve a temporary purpose, much like the 2x4 forms for a concrete patio or walkway.
Right.
In other words, the body provides the long-term answer. And so what we did with you was we put some special kinds of sutures into your tendon that are kind of crisscrossed sutures so that they won't easily pull out. And then we ran them through longitudinal drill holes in your kneecap. So I forgot to ask you whether you feel the suture knots on the bottom of your kneecap, the portion of your kneecap that's pointing towards your toes.
Yeah.
But you have three suture knots. You had a total of four sutures that were tied through three tunnels in your kneecap, and the sutures are on the other end of the kneecap. So we do that, you know, pulling that as tight as we can with your leg in full extension, and that's why I had given you those instructions about being very careful, because I didn't want you to disrupt that temporary repair while your body was creating the permanent repair.
One of the things I found fascinating as well when I started to, you know, for a couple of weeks you're out of it, you know, I'm in the hospital and I'm getting better, and I'm not really aware of what's going on that much. But as I started to look into it, and I looked at the bilateral quadricep injury, and I tried to find some information as to how many of these there were and so forth. The information that I found was kind of old, and I was reading stories that people wrote maybe in 2002, 2003, and I didn't relate to them at all. And I thought that was really interesting, because I said, that's not me. I don't have that. And then light bulb goes on and say, oh, because these things were written almost 20 years ago. I'm guessing that there just have been amazing strides in your profession.
Yes, I think a couple of different things. Most of medical publishing is done more on cutting edge kinds of things, and so you know, once we have something figured out, you don't see a lot of publishing on that until the next quantum leap occurs. An example that I might use is heart valve replacement versus something called the TAVR or TAVR procedure. And Mick Jagger really recently popularized that for a lot of people, because, you know, the old-fashioned way of fixing an aortic heart valve was through open heart surgery, and then a newer procedure came out that was able to replace a heart valve through a percutaneous placement through femoral vessels, which Mick Jagger had, and 4 weeks later he was back on stage performing. My point with that is that I think you're likely to see a lot more literature on the newer procedures rather than the tried and true procedures that have been figured out. And I think that's why most of the literature you were citing is older literature.
Yeah.
Because in the last 20 years, the developments that have occurred in orthopedics have been in other areas, but we've really got the anchoring and the repair techniques nailed down until the next magical thing comes along, you know, like, you know, maybe a collagen glue that is immediately so strong, you know, much like super glue, that, you know, you could dab it on and then immediately you're walking again. So, you know, once something like that comes out, I think you'll see a lot more new literature on that subject.
Isn't it amazing, though, that Mick Jagger, basically his heart can blow up and he can be back on stage in a month. I'm out for 2.5 months because I fell down the stairs. I'm not judging Mr. Jagger, but I'm thinking he's probably lived a little bit of a rougher life than I have.
I think they're not even apples and oranges. It's almost maybe comparing apples to orangutans.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
It's you know, they're just I and
can I be
like
the apple?
You, Joe, I do marvel at that there are some things in medicine. It's incredible, you know, what we've been able to accomplish. And then there are other things, just as you pointed out, that, you know, still are going to take, you know, you got to respect Mother Nature for 8 weeks.
Well, it has been an amazing journey with you, sir, and I thank you so much for all of your beautiful care and for coming on this morning and telling us about it. Many people were asking me. I had no idea what was going on, so I so appreciate you enlightening us all. Dr. William O'Connor is board certified in orthopedics. He specializes in care of the hip and knee, as well as total joint replacement. OrthoNewYork.com for more information. Dr. O'Connor, a great pleasure as always. I will forever be in your debt, and I thank you so much for being with us.
Well, it was truly my pleasure, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, you too. Dr. William O'Connor with Ortho New York. You can find out more information at orthony.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.